created from the cosmic legends of the universe.
Dave Damaschek.
The mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Hi and hello, podcasters. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damaschek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Here in Studio 66 in downtown Los Angeles, it is time for our last show here. And joining us, as always, the Sass. What's going down, the Sass?
How's it going, Dave Damaschek?
I'm well, and I'm doing well because your wife. What a feast she cooked up.
Oh. Yeah, well, my wife and sister-in-law.
They
tag-teamed on the desserts, so we got, like, these cake balls with cream cheese frosting mashed up and dipped in chocolate and brownies.
They're delicious.
But my wife was, she went solo on the pot roast that she made for you, which you have yet to partake in. We'll do that after the show.
Well, it is 10:30 in the a.m. local time here on the West Coast, and so, yeah, it doesn't seem appropriate for at least another 5-10 minutes until we dig into that roast beef. But these pastries are delectable. They're delightful. I've had a brownie so far. She made, like you said, they're basically concentrated cake balls.
Yeah, you take the cake, like she made a red velvet cake, and then you mash it up with the frosting and into balls, and then you dip them in chocolate. She does it all from scratch. She's got aspirations to be a baker, and she's single, fellas.
Wow. Well, listen.
Not a bad looker either, if I can say that about my sister-in-law.
You really shouldn't.
Well,
say
I mean,
that.
She's pretty.
You could say, like, she's it runs in the family.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Then that's making it all right for your wife, in case she happened to click on the podcast. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk. We're going to do our usual podcast that we do at this time of the week, focusing on college football with the Blue Horseshoe, who is here, and we'll be yapping with him. Like we said last week, we teased the Blue Horseshoe, said he has an announcement he'd like to share. So we'll do that in just a second, but just to let you know, we'll then do a second podcast, we'll see who we can track down. We'll try to track down a couple of our regulars here on the show, like Jonah Carey and the Ed and so on and so forth. I guess say farewell. But as, like I've been saying the last couple of days, there's no reason for it to be farewell. The citizens of the Czech Republic, very kind. I appreciate all the notes and everything. But, listen, we are going to continue with the podcasting. That's all I can say about it. And, people, sort of mourning the end of the podcast. Listen, we're today is Wednesday, and as soon as next week, we're going to be up and running in at least one place, if not more than that. So anyway, we'll get more into that, I guess, in part two of today's podcasting action. But right now, let's say hello to our old pal from AccuScore.com, the Blue Horseshoe.
He's the Blue With his evil computers, he'll calculate who beats who. He's the Blue Horseshoe.
Here he is from AccuScore.com, the place with those evil computers, 10,000 simulations of every sort of game under the sun, the Blue Horseshoe. What's going down, man?
Hey, Dave, thanks for having me in on this very momentous day.
It is momentous, you think?
Yeah, well, I didn't know if was it monumental or momentous. I wasn't the wordsmith. It's early here for me.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Yeah, I like in Hollywood how people act like it's like they're up at dawn when they have to do anything before 11 a.m. That's the cutoff point. Well, if you're doing it before, can you believe they got us in here this early to do stuff?
I think the biggest metaphor for today is usually when I come in here in the afternoon, there's a football game on or like PTI, and we're watching the Today Show.
Hey, listen, nothing wrong with Kathy Lee Gifford and her friend, what is her friend's name?
Amy Robach?
Amy Robach or Natalie Morales.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, la, and la are the three words I have for either one of them. So, all right, this year, we're going to talk about college football. But first, you said last week you had an announcement. Share your big announcement now. Let me give you a drum roll because you say it's a big announcement. I think it deserves a drum roll. Ready? Here we go. You should start talking.
All right.
Now.
Well, I don't have a lot of drum rolls in my tenure.
I know, but you understand the concept when the drum is rolling.
Okay. Well, I thought after the drum roll, you give the big reveal.
No. Then listen. We have this. We brought the band in here to do.
All right. Let's try this again.
All right. Ready? Here we go. Here's your big announcement.
All right. The big announcement that we've teased over the last week is that although today is the last day of your podcast with ESPN, 710 and ESPN.com. Knock it off. I'm hearing...
You are the worst.
I am the worst. We're going to... Your podcast is going to be coming over to AccuScore.com, where we will be presenting the Dave Damashek Show, presented by AccuScore, or powered by AccuScore.
All right, that was pretty anticlimactic and pretty lame the way you did it, and I think you made the right move bringing Damashek over there, because if you were to host it, we can hear how that would sound if you were to do a solo show. So,
Michael Buffer, he is not. Let's not hire him before the main event.
But all right. So that's good news. I'm very excited about it. Yeah, we'll be doing so the shoe. We're figuring it out now. We talked last week, and of course, excited to be flapping my gums about sports. Like I say, you know, you get to flap your gums about sports, you know, you're beating life. That's what it is. So I'm obviously very pleased to continue doing it. And so we'll be doing, but as opposed to people who listen to this podcast, have come to know you as the college football guru. Mm-hmm. Actually, scratch that. A lot of people know that you talk about college football, but many in the Czech Republic question whether or not you're a guru or if you even watch the games based on some of your picks.
Yeah, 57% is just terrible against the
spread. All right, well, listen, you went out there last week and you said that your shoe-in of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One. I picked Houston plus one and it won. So what do you want from me? And let me take exception to this.
Well, let me just say this.
All right, hold on. I have things to say here.
It was very, very close. And for a shoe in of the year, it shouldn't have been a last second 1 point victory.
Okay, did it pay 100 cents on the dollar?
All right, I'm just telling you.
So let me explain it. Let me address this.
Before you begin, a couple of things. Before we get into this. I got many angry emails about during the game about the shoe-in. Now, you know, how dare he? How dare the Blue Horseshoe do this to me? You know, so on and so forth. Hand wringing and hatred and bile and so on.
Yeah.
Directed at you and somehow to me. And but before we get your response on this, let me also say, because that's what I started down that path. College football, that's what you talk about. That's what we talk about here on the podcast. But what we will be doing, of course, is expanding things. Of course, your college football season's essentially winding down now, and then it'll gear back up around the holidays. But we'll be talking NFL. We'll talk every sport. We'll talk NBA. Yeah. College hoops is just getting going. And hockey. But I heard you correctly, I think that's in the contract.
Yes, we will let you talk hockey. I might be drooling on myself staring at the wall during that point in time, but
shame
will talk
on you.
Hockey.
Don't start already.
But also, I want to put your dedicated listenership to ease that in coming over to AccuScore, it's a platform for the podcast to continue and for your listeners to continue to be entertained by your talents. I mean, to be honest, Dave, I mean, I've been on your show for close to 3 years now.
Is that right?
I'm a big fan of your work and
I am too.
What your radio show and your podcast, and I'm as interested as a fan to hear you continue as I am as a partner in working with you. So if you're concerned about, or like your listenership's concerned about, it's going to become a show for AccuScore, it's not. It's a platform. Now, clearly, like I am when I'm in here, you know, AccuScore stuff comes up, but that's neither here nor there. The idea is that your voice continues to get heard a minimum of twice a week on AccuScore. You can go there. You can check us out on Twitter, AccuScore Zach and Damashek. You can check us out to find out exactly when we start. I believe we're going to start on Monday morning. And go to our homepage. You'll find out, you know, the links to get all the stuff you need. So we're really excited, and to bring back some of the old staples that,
Yeah. And so we'll do basically what we've been doing in here. Like you saw, like the shoe says, we'll do some of the fan favorites. And, we'll do somewhere around two or three, something like that, a week, right? We'll see how it goes.
At least. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun with it. Now, let's digress. Let's digress to the hateful part of the Czech Republic, the part that,
And by the way, I will continue to, I am allowed to continue to rage against your machines. Yes.
Of course. We would expect nothing different. I mean, we don't want you to sell out.
No, I wouldn't do it. My decisions on my picks will continue to be based on my heart and my gut.
Exactly.
I'm not be influenced by your foolish.
It is the perfect antithesis to an otherwise good business.
All right. Now go ahead. Answer the stuff, because listen, I got things about, like, I'm never listening to you again as long as you don't listen to me again.
All those guys don't have to listen to me. If they can go out there and do their own homework and beat 57% over 40 picks and consistently be profitable and give a pick of the year, you know, I don't care if it won on a miracle, it won. All right, it did win on a miracle, and they got outplayed. But, you know, I always talk about picks where I don't win, but I made the right pick, but, you know, you're being results-based. If you don't like my picks, very simple. Do your own homework. We're giving it to you for free on the podcast, stuff that on our site you'd have to pay for. And if you don't like it, go somewhere else.
I mean, chill.
Yeah.
A little chilly in here, a little chippy.
People get very angry. They never, ever congratulate you when you win. But they always like, oh, you're terrible. You can't get it right. Houston won. Houston won on a miracle, but they covered, period, end of sentence.
I like when it is obviously goes without saying that it's, or it should go without saying, that picking games is speculative. It's flipping coins, basically, to pick these games.
Mm-hmm.
And I like when people get angry with it. How dare you be wrong about that? It's a 50-50 proposition. Vegas has done its best to give you a number and to make it as 50-50 as it can possibly get, as opposed to straight up. I'm always amazed on the shows when, you know, where the experts, the ex-ball players and ex-coaches sit around before the NFL games kick off and they give their picks and then they show their season total. I'm always, I've never done it, so it's easy for me to say, just picking straight up NFL winners. How hard can that possibly be that you shouldn't be hitting a minimum of 2/3 of your picks?
Well, AccuScore,
and they often don't.
Look, we're 73%. We won the ESPN Experts League last year. It's where all the named talent picks in a pool. They pick winners. We won it last year. We were third place the year before, and we're winning it again this year. So, again, our evil computer seems to have a better handle on it than, all these experts, which is great for us. But, you know, look, I went 3-1. If you can beat 57% consistently, beat it. You know, beat it and put it out there and don't use my stuff. And if you want to hate. But I will tell you this, that I would guess, save for a few people probably in your republic, I was more invested in that game than anybody. And we're not just talking about pride, but I was invested in the game. And I wasn't happy when I thought it was going to lose. But look, it won.
I like the shoe. That could become a new theme song for the shoe, something off of Michael Jackson's little number called Beat It. And maybe, you know, there were a lot of people who, it seemed to me, somewhere on Saturday during the Tulsa and Houston game, where people would like to have been, like in the video, would like to be bound by the wrist and with a switchblade in the other and have a knife fight with the Blue Horseshoe.
Look, people weren't too upset when Houston was up 10 points. They were in control of that game until late in the third, halfway through the fourth quarter. I mean, they had a goal line stand against them. I mean, all the things that made it a good pick were there. They just didn't convert. Interceptions, goal line stand. But the fact is, they won. So if you don't like it, just don't use my stuff and do your own homework.
All right, we get it. How would you do in a knife fight?
Well, I don't fight fair.
Well, if you're bound by the wrist of one on one hand and holding a knife in the other, what rules do you think apply in such a fight?
Well, how did I get bound by the wrist? How did I let that happen?
Did you see the move? Where have you been? Did you ever hear of a little? You've heard of Michael Jackson, right?
Yeah. So
and you know about the album Thriller?
Yes.
And one of the big singles on it was called Beat It, and there was a video. They used to do this on this channel MTV. They used to show music videos all the time, right? You're familiar with that?
Yes.
Well, one of these videos, the one to Beat It, there are two guys, these gang members, they get bound by the wrist, and then they have a knife fight. But then it's weird. I don't know what the rules were that day and what kind of gangs these were. But they never really try to stab one another. They just sort of do a dance.
I can't conceivably ever see myself showing up to be part of that.
Guidelines. It doesn't matter if you've seen it or not, or if you agree to these stipulations or not. He's asking you, this is the situation you are
difficult.
Thrust into. Your hands are bound, you're gagged, you have a ball in your mouth, and there's a knife fight going on. What do you do? How do you win? Wait, who is it against, actually? Is it against Dave Damashek?
No. One of the people who were feeling raw during the Tulsa-Houston game.
I don't know what those guys look like.
All right, well, how would you do against the Sass?
I don't know. The sass is pretty big on
me. The sass would absolutely. You want to talk about making a wager? I'll take the sass 7 days a week in that one.
In just a knife fight?
Yeah, just on reach. If
I might be able to say I got the reach.
I might be able to win in a street fight though.
You think so?
I don't know.
I think you're underestimating my tenacity and grit.
I don't know if I can get close, but I have a couple tricks up my sleeve.
You actually you're saying here now you might be able to take out a high school athlete. Like the sass?
I was a high school athlete.
Yeah, but you ran.
He ran like a 4.140, him and Dion. I would go right for your eyes. I'd gouge your eyes out.
I would kick you where the sun don't shine.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be a nice farewell to Studio 66 here? It's just I'll go on the other side of the glass, safe and sound, and then I'll watch you two go at it.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I'm down. He made me do push-ups when I lost that Stanford.
Hey, you lost game. That. You made yourself do push-ups.
Wow. And by the way, the knife fight, is whatever, and you're tied by the wrist and so on, that would not be a fun thing. But still, the worst kind of fight anyone could ever have is a whip fight. In Flash Gordon, there's nothing
with
worse.
With spikes coming up from the ground.
Just stuck. You're stuck there. You can't get out. You can't, run away or anything. You're stuck on this little island out in space, and you have a whip fight. Forget about it. Before even the spike starts shooting up and it rotates and tries to knock you off of there, how about just standing across from another guy and you have a whip and he has a whip and he's trying to hit you with it? That would be the worst. That would be the worst.
I'd be like such a little girl. I hate it when somebody points a rubber band at me like they're going to shoot it. I'd rather him just shoot me with the rubber band.
You know, I always thought it was strange. Michelle Pfeiffer, in that Batman picture that she was in, she was the Catwoman.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you remember the scene when she first becomes Catwoman and she's going through the empty mall and she's whipping stuff, like she's knocking the heads off the mannequins? Do you remember that?
I do remember that vaguely,
She just walks down a line and she doesn't do it once. She does like five mannequins in a row. She's
deadly
walking
aim.
Down a hallway. And she knocks every head off the mannequin. She did that first take. And
really?
Legitimately did it.
I don't believe you.
I've heard her and
Kelly.
Other people talk about
I'd
it.
I'd like to see her and Indiana Jones go at it.
Wow. I'd like to see her in the Blue Horseshoe.
Who would win in that whip fight? That's the whip fight.
Yeah. Dr. Jones.
Dr. Jones versus Catwoman, as played by Michelle Pfeiffer.
Wow, listen, Flash Gordon fared pretty well himself when he took on Prince Baron in Flash Gordon. All right, listen,
who's aged as well as Michelle Pfeiffer? I mean, she's still got it.
Brooke Burke.
It's so funny you say that. You know, I was just having that conversation the
Diane
other day.
Lane.
Diane Lane is up there.
Diane Lane, though, is not nearly as pretty as Michelle Pfeiffer. She's aged very well, but she's not nearly as pretty as Michelle Pfeiffer.
I like statements like that. Not nearly as. Like, you're insane if you do that. It's the one I always say is the Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning, and I'm surprised it hasn't gotten a lot of talk so far in the week leading up to that game on Sunday night. I love when guys get crazy about that. You are insane if you think Tom Brady's better than Peyton Manning. Are you out of your mind? Peyton Manning, you think he compares to Tom Brady? To mention them on the same day is a crime. You know, I love when people get that way, and that's what you're doing. Diane Lane, yes. How dare you compare her to Michelle Pfeiffer? Can we agree that they're both reasonably attractive women?
I think they're both very attractive.
They're both above, like, sixes on the scale of 1 to 10.
I think Diane Lane is very... Every woman, and Michelle Pfeiffer, she's just a superstar.
Every woman? Diane Lane is very every woman.
No,
with
very hot every woman. Like, if she were a hot every woman, but I think Michelle Pfeiffer
the fiery red hair?
Out of her
She's been a fox since The Outsiders. She was whatever she was in The Outsiders 25, 30 years ago. And she's now whatever she is, 74, whatever age she is, and she still looks good. Yeah, she's every woman, you know.
74.
I don't know what she is.
How about Angelica Houston? Yeah.
No.
Don't get crazy there, the sass.
What?
So, the point is.
What about Estelle Harris?
The answer to that question, I don't even know who that is. Estelle Harris.
That's Costanza's mom.
Oh. Yes, well, we have to include her. Then if we're going to do that, then Doris Roberts has to be a part of it, too. From Everybody Loves Raymond, of course.
Of course.
And Remington Steele before that.
I always had a thing for Patricia Heaton.
She's not bad.
When she grew her hair out.
Don't steal my sleeper pick. That was my sleeper pick months ago on the podcast.
Is that true?
When we were speaking with Dell. I said, hey, don't sleep on Patricia Heaton.
All right, well, that's
it. She's got moxie. I like it.
I got to say, I give that one. But I think the best example, although Michelle Pfeiffer is a pretty good one. I've said that the woman who held up the longest.
Alyssa Milano.
Goldie Hawn.
No.
Goldie Hawn, I'm not saying in 2009.
I would agree with you there. 2005,
yes. You know, she had about a 40-year stretch there, 40, 45 years.
I liked her in Wildcats.
Yeah. Well, listen, that was about 85, 86-ish, but she made it all the way through the 90s at least.
Yeah, but then Morgan Fairchild. Then she became like a mess.
She was great in those old Navy commercials, and she was like 65.
Is that true?
I think so.
All right.
Raquel Welch?
All right, I've had it with this. All right, no
Let's
more
get
of
back
this.
To sports.
I want to get to college football.
I don't know why you guys
derailed
here. This into this.
That's exactly right. Two questions for you, and then we'll give our picks the shoe, and then we'll give you the boot until we see you next week.
Yes.
And so my question for you is this, and the Sass and I talked about it briefly a couple days ago. Is, you know, you always talk about, and you know, if you look at how the BCS operates, strength of schedule is everything. And quality of opponent, and then your foe then needs to be successful for you to be successful. You know, you want, if you're a Bama fan, you want Florida to be good, you want LSU to be good, and so on, because then it boosts your number if you beat those teams. So I was thinking about it. First of all, what if Pitt had not lost to NC State right now? What if they were undefeated? And they were to beat Notre Dame and West Virginia, and Cincinnati remained undefeated until those two teams hooked up for the regular season finale, and the Big East title would be on the line too. But more importantly, in terms of the BCS, both of those teams undefeated. Couldn't you make a case that the winner of that game would have a better BCS power number than Texas? Because really now, the Big 12 is down. The Big 12 ain't great, and especially if like a Texas Tech beats Oklahoma State between now and then, and knocks it. Oklahoma's nothing. Nebraska's nothing. There's nobody good in the Big 12 outside of Texas, basically.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, South Florida is a ranked team. West Virginia's a ranked team. So let's assume they win these games. So, you know, I'm saying that Cincinnati and Pitt both knock these teams down on the way. But they play each other undefeated. Wouldn't one of those two teams have a better number?
You'd like to think so. I mean, everything that you just said adds up for the equation to think that an undefeated Pitt, I would even say that potentially an undefeated Cincinnati is better, you know, on paper than Texas based on the fact that they went out west and beat Oregon State at Oregon State. I mean, I think lots of teams don't do that, and Oregon State's one of these teams that tends to get better as the season goes along. More often than not, I think the biggest flaw in that argument is what happened last year, and that's people are not going to let a Texas team get shut out this year. It's just not going to happen from the polls. And the idea that Texas is in stride right now, they're playing great. But even if Pitt doesn't lose that game, even if Pitt does lose to NC State and plays Cincinnati with one loss, Pitt's a fantastic football team. I've maintained that all year. They've been a lot of fun to watch. They have a great offense.
You didn't maintain that before the season kicked off.
No, I didn't, because I saw what their track record was. I didn't realize they'd have
I was also down on them.
Yeah, I didn't say their running backs didn't do much. I mean, our preseason pick was Cincinnati. I still think that as long as the SEC and the Big 12 is going to produce an undefeated product, that the Big East, if they were to be a third conference with an undefeated product, they're always going to be shut out. They're an 8-team conference. They don't get a lot of respect. They're kind of a laughingstock. Now, the big interesting thing is what's happening with the Mountain West and TCU. TCU is going to play Utah. Utah's going to finish their season, who's a one-loss team. West Virginia's really taken a step back for Cincinnati this year, because they're probably going to finish with three or four losses if they lose to Pitt, mm-hmm. and then if they lose to Cincinnati this weekend. So that's no good for them. So Cincinnati's best win, should they run the table, is going to be against a two-loss Pitt team.
Because right. They have exactly right. Yeah, they have Cincinnati has I'm sure Oregon State going out there looked tough on the schedule, but the fact of the matter, it isn't that tough. But again, if you knock down an undefeated Pitt team, because here's the logic. If Pitt were undefeated right now, they would be no worse than fifth or sixth in the country. They would be right there with Cincinnati. So that win alone would be much better than anything Texas had done.
Well,
all season
I figure actually that Pitt being undefeated would have the rankings being the two SEC teams, Texas, Pitt/Cincinnati, and then TCU.
Right.
I think if Pitt was undefeated, the Big East would get more respect. Cincinnati would get more respect.
That's what I'm saying. They would be
even though they didn't play, I think TCU would be behind them based on their whole body of work right now. But TCU is ahead of them because I think people took away from the Big East because Pitt had already lost. It's nonsense. But I'll tell you what's interesting is if you think Alabama is just going to go through you know, Auburn and run, you know, and Mississippi State, no problem. I think that, you know, you haven't been watching college football. Alabama is ripe for an upset. Statistically and probability wise, they're not going to be upset until they play Florida, but there's a real possibility that Alabama could lose a game and then could beat Florida. And then you could have a situation where you have Texas against either, TCU or potentially Cincinnati.
I agree with that. That, I think, is an interesting way this thing could go. I don't necessarily hand the game to Florida this weekend going up against the old ball coach and the Gamecocks. We'll talk about that, but, you know, you say TCU. The other one is, the other hypothetical now is, what if Utah were undefeated? I don't think Utah is as good as they were last year, but if Utah were undefeated right now, they also would be a top 10 team. They'd be like somewhere around eighth right now. Utah and TCU play this week. If that were the case, TCU also would have arguably a more impressive victory. Who has Texas beaten this year? I mean, really, what, it's all based on names. It's all about, well, they beat Oklahoma. Well, so what? Oklahoma's is pretty good, not great.
Look, the one thing I would say is you have to start to look, and to defend Texas, is they have a horrible non-conference schedule. But, you know, as Dan Wetzel wrote about on Yahoo, is they're under no obligation to not have a horrible non-conference schedule. I mean, they understand their brand, and if you take a look at
The Big 12 just happens to be down. It's not Texas's fault.
But if you take a look at them out of conference, Oklahoma and USC went out of conference. They got their quarterbacks hurt. They lost games. Texas went out of conference with a weak schedule. They won games. And, look, Oklahoma was very game that day that they beat Texas. I mean, that they played Texas, and Texas beat them. And I give Texas a lot of credit for beating Oklahoma State. I don't call them patsies. I mean, they went to Stillwater and blew out a very good Oklahoma State team and made them look bad. And that's part of being a good team, is making your opponent look bad. Alabama hasn't been doing a lot of it this year. Florida hasn't been doing a lot of it this year. And it's not Texas's fault that they just drew a bad Big 12. I do think it's kind of crummy that they played a bad non-conference schedule.
The point with that is it's not Texas's fault that the Big 12 happened to be down. But then there has to be the allowance made by the humans, that are doing the voting, to be able to adjust in your brain that, listen, the Big 12, and you start talking about, you know, recent success of Texas Tech and Oklahoma State and Oklahoma being in that conference. The fact is, it's not a great conference this year. The Big East happens to have more good teams this year.
But where we are 10 weeks into the season, I would disagree. I would say, based on everything I've seen, which is schedule, quality of team, quality opponent, how the team has improved, the personnel, and, you know, combined with potential, that I think Texas is probably the best team in the country right now. I think they're better than Florida. I think they're better than Alabama. I think they're better than Cincinnati. I think they're better than and they're better than TCU. You know, they're playing great right now, and their road test at Oklahoma State really proved it, and they beat Oklahoma again. And sure, they don't have, you know, the body of work against, you know, the name opponents, but they're beating people, and I don't know if they're going to win the national championship, but I think they're very worthy of where they are, even though their resume is kind of weak. And based on, you know, the way we, you know, judge college football, you need a resume.
All right, so I guess the best we can hope for is for the Gamecocks to beat Florida, either Auburn or Mississippi State to knock down Bama, and then whoever wins, and then it won't make a difference who wins the SEC championship. Maybe you that's about the only way that you would possibly see
any chance
TCU or Cincinnati get into the
title.
Well,
look, any chance that Cincinnati has to make.
Is there any way? Let me just ask you this quickly. What if what I just said, it's a long shot, Florida and Bama both lose before the end of the regular season? That whoever wins the SEC championship game, whatever. Texas goes undefeated the rest of the way. TCU loses to Utah. Pitt beats Cincinnati. Pitt in the national title game?
Wow, sure. I mean, it's pretty convoluted.
Could they jump a one-loss Florida team? And by the way,
going to be tough.
Pitt's going to lose to Notre Dame this week.
But look, if we want to talk about hypothetical reality, if you're a Cincinnati fan, if Notre Dame beats Pitt this weekend, you're done.
I realize where we're done. I'm just saying.
Pitt, Cincinnati. Pittsburgh loses this weekend, they're done, because their best win now will be against a three-loss team.
Right.
And that would literally punch TCU's ticket. And I think that there is a little bit of chaos left. I've maintained when I came in here 6 weeks ago and I did some preliminary analysis on the BCS, is that TCU, not only would a zero-loss Cincinnati team get shut out over a one-loss major conference, but it looks like a non-BCS conference school continues to have an edge and a lead over Cincinnati. And that's going to be a big deal. And if Pitt loses this weekend, I don't think they will. But if they do, that's curtains for the Bearcats.
Interesting. So, all right, let me get into my picks here real quick. And we'll start with that Notre Dame-Pitt game. Pitt, I've been beaten down by the disappointments. It's amazing that a friend of mine lived in Austin, Texas for about 5 years. And he lived there in the mid-90s. And this is before the Mac Brown,
John McAvick era.
Yeah, gets him back, you know. But he used to always talk about that it was funny to deal with Longhorn fans around Austin because they were under this illusion that they were still like a top five team every year, that the national championship was theirs to lose, even though they would lose three or four games annually. And it's sort of that, people aren't that crazy about Pitt, but there is still sort of the impression like, yeah, remember the Johnny Majors and the Jackie Sherrill years and Danny Marino and Hugh Green and Tony Dorsett and so on. It's like, yeah, what's amazing is for the first time in the AP since 1982, Pitt is in the top 10. Since 1982, it's the first time they've been in the top 10. So it's amazing. I'm a little bit beaten down. I've come to expect them to lose games that they shouldn't be losing. But this weekend, it's on, and by the way, on ABC prime time, they must really be sick about Notre Dame losing that game. ABC must just be disgusted by Chaz Weiss dropping that game because it's a nice game if you have two loss Irish still in the BCS picture, conceivably, against one loss Pitt. But now it's this crumb bum team that Pitt absolutely should beat. Pitt's giving 7. Against my better judgment, I'm going to take the Pitt Panthers to keep their role going.
Look, I like it. I mean, I don't have my AccuScore simulations in front of me, but I like it. I mean, Notre Dame's been playing a lot of close games this year, but what Oderic Turner and Dorn, who I always forget his name.
You always go with, their best receiver is Jonathan Baldwin. He's a 6'5" burner. He's going to be a great NFL guy.
Did you see that move on the reverse last week against Syracuse?
Yeah, it was dynamite.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I like that team.
Bill Stahl doesn't turn the ball over. He gets booed a lot in
Bill
Pittsburgh.
Bill Stahl gets booed when he drops back to pass. I've never seen that.
Well, early in the season because it's that, the uneasy, hey, there are younger kids behind him who might be, have a bigger ceiling, a higher ceiling, and so let's go to him. But listen, that Pitt team rushes the football. That's the bane of Notre Dame, is a team that can run the ball on them a little bit. And their defense is good. They should be able to get to Clawson a little bit there. It should be, though, a shootout. Pitt is not like they shut down every team they play. And the Irish do have one of the better offenses around. So it's a lot to give a touchdown. I'll take the Pitt given those 7 there. Stanford, USC. USC very lucky to get out of Arizona State last week with a win. They really, in fact, deserved to lose that game. Now they're back home, though. I think Pete Carroll has them in that frame of mind. We got to finish strong, show we're an elite team. We're still in contention for the Pac-10 and so on. They're given 10.5. Stanford ain't no jive, but I still say in the Coliseum, SC will do that, covering the 10.5. Florida and South Carolina, the Gators are giving 16 on the road there. Florida hasn't been obliterating anybody. This is the whole season for the old ball coach here, this one game. I'll take the Gamecocks. I don't think they're going to win, but I like them plus 16 at home. Texas Tech, Oklahoma State. You say Oklahoma State is a good team. Texas Tech living off of the fumes of last year a little bit, the impression people have of them. I'll say take the Cowboys -4. Utah and TCU, I talk about a team that very few people, it's one of those things, we've seen Boise State now. Everybody has seen Boise State play a little bit. I dare say most people still have not seen a single play outside of highlights of the Horned Frogs. They are good. They're for real. They, you know, they're a powerful team. You know, they're not what Boise State is, more that what you think about non-BCS team that's undefeated, that you know, with the trickery and, you know, the throwing for 15,000 yards in a season and all that kind of stuff. TCU is more of a traditional powerhouse kind of team. I like them minus the 20 at home against Utah. Those are my five picks for you.
Those are good picks, and as always, and as advertised, you take the games that everybody wants.
That's right. These are the big games. See, I don't take these fringy games that no one has any idea what I'm talking about.
Well, I take fringy games.
All right, go ahead. Lay it on us, the shoe.
Wisconsin minus 8.5 over Michigan. Wisconsin's got a just a great, powerful offense. I thought they'd, you know, their quarterback last week made a lot of bad decisions on third down. Went for it all, and his tight ends had a big case of the drops. But Wisconsin runs the ball right at you very well, and that's the among many Achilles heels that Michigan has shown throughout the season, that they can't stop the run. I like Wisconsin minus 8.5, 62.1% in the AccuScore simulation. The old saying goes is take the passer and the points, and I'm going to take Stanford plus the 10.5 at USC. Your rationale for, you know, Pete Carroll finishing strong, they got to show that they're an elite team. Isn't that what they tried to do last week and the week before and the week before, ever since they lost to Washington? And the fact is that this USC team isn't beating the number because they're not good enough to beat the number. They're a solid team. You got the better quarterback in Andrew Luck than Matt Barkley in this game. AccuScore Computer does favor USC slightly laying the points, but the caveat to that is AccuScore is 1-7 this year when they in their picks involving USC. So I'm actually going to kind of fade the AccuScore Computer. I took Oregon last week against Stanford, so I got to see up close and personal what that team is all about, and they're no joke and they're no fluke. I would not be surprised if Stanford won the game straight up, but I'll take the 10.5 points as insurance. My next pick is a team that AccuScore is 6-1 with against the spread this year, and that's Arizona Wildcats plus 1 again at Cal. I think Cal was, you know, just phoned it in after, you know, Jahvid Best had that horrible Rod Tidwell injury. But going into that play, Oregon State was still beating up on Cal at Cal. Arizona is a great team that's flying very under the radar. AccuScore 6-2 in our money line picks, with, you know, that involve Cal. So because it's a plus one, you know, pick'em game, we're picking against Cal on our money line selection. So all the trends go in our favor with this, and I do like the Arizona team. I'm a little bit late to that, but I am going to follow them. And next is a big AccuScore trend play, and this one's a little bit tougher for me because I do like overs when I play over-unders, but we're going to take Clemson and North Carolina State to combine for under 58 points. This season, we're 7-1 in our projections when with Clemson totals. We're 7-0 in NC State totals. We're 20-11 in ACC totals. So every sort of trend that you can look at with the AccuScore Computer with this game points to this game going under. So I'm going to go ahead and make that one of my picks. And my last one is I'm going to stick with my same old horse like I did last year. Houston minus 4.5 at UCF.
I guess they haven't let you down, so I guess you could stick with them.
Yeah, they haven't let me down. They are a good football team. They are a very good football team. The reason why Tulsa gave him so much grief is because all Tulsa would do is they drop their quarterback back, he would find nothing, and he would just running over those wide open spaces. I don't think UCF is going to be able to do that. I don't think Case Keenan is going to be inefficient inside the red zone as he was last week in the certain times where they did get stopped on the goal line stand. I like Houston minus 4.5 on the road at Central Florida. You can hate me. You can pass on the pick. I like it. I've done nothing but win with Houston this year. And again, here's another situation that fits the profile of a Houston team being able to run wild over this team.
All right, that's it for you.
Five's enough.
The Sash, you going to offer any picks?
Yeah, I do have a few picks. What I'm going to do, given the track record and success of the Blue Horseshoe on the season's picks so far in college football, I'm going to copy all your picks. Seriously, I'm going to copy all his picks. I do like, on my own accord, I liked Arizona. They do have the best quarterback in the Pac-10, not named Jake Locker, in my opinion. You know, that one guy.
You with the long hair.
Yeah, that guy. And I'm going to cherry pick from Dave Damashek's picks which ones I think are wrong. I'm going to take Florida over South Carolina. I'm going to lay those points. And I'm going to take Notre Dame.
All right, well,
plus the seven.
That's no way to treat me.
Maybe
no
you guys should get it. Maybe you guys should bound up for a knife fight.
And let me say this, couple things. The shoe, I mean, the sash you can always follow on Twitter. Skyler the Sass. And,
that's right.
So you can keep tabs on him. Damashek is the place to go. We'll keep you up to date. You want to get on there. I've noticed a lot of people have followed my request that you sign up on Twitter just so that we can let you know about, you know, now the shoe is mentioned. We'll be doing something with AccuScore starting next week. So, you know, we can send it out to you that way. Also, AccuScore.com. And, but the shoe. Can I bring the Sass along at least once in a while to flap his gums a bit?
We would be honored if the Sass could come along.
Don't go so far.
As often as he wants to come in and take part of the podcast, we were actually hoping that he would.
As long as I bring in the pastry balls, right?
Look,
the smoked meats.
I'm on Weight Watchers, so all I'm doing is looking at that.
We gotta eat the
I don't
roast
know how
beef.
You resist
well, good thing he's, on a diet because that means more roast beef for us.
That's right.
The Sass.
And right. Dave, we'll also be putting up updates, over the next few days regarding, our business together at AccuScoreZach on Twitter. So if you want to, I know you got a lot going on and basically this is all that I'm consumed with. So we'll be putting a lot of stuff up on, AccuScoreZach if you want to, follow me there.
And then AccuScore.com is where you'll be able to track it all down. Like you said, Monday.
Yeah, if you go to AccuScore, you're going to see a big button or a module on the right-hand side, and we're still in the process of creating the pages, so bear with us. But if you start going there over the weekend, you're going to have no trouble finding out where to go and setting up so the downloads and for the iTunes.
And it's going to be on iTunes,
and
right?
It will be.
That's
on
what everybody keeps asking.
It will
be on
iTunes. It will. How could they keep asking if they just found out?
Because people have already listened.
Yes, it will be on iTunes.
It wasn't one of the great mysteries of all time when you said, "Hey, we have an announcement."
I will tell you that there's a guy on your message boards named the Remus, and this guy. I mean, there was a lot of speculation, like the big announcement. Will there be pie? Is the shoe? Are you going to try on pumps? Because the big Damashek shoe. But a lot of theories were going on. This is before people knew that you were going to be splitting from here. And there's a guy on there named the Remus who just drilled it. I mean, he hit it. He had it everything down. I think he had the 4 points down. You know, we're going to do something together. Why? How we're going to distribute it? And even what the AccuScore point of view is in doing it. So kudos to him.
Well, the Republic will remain strong thanks to the Blue Horseshoe, and we're looking forward to getting going with you on AccuScore next week. The Shoe, thanks for showing up, and we'll look forward to flapping our gums down your way in just a few days.
And once again, Dave, thanks a lot for having me on all these times. It really means a lot.
But I'm going to see you in a couple of days.
I know, but it's going to be new beginnings.
Stop right. Crying.
Man. I'm not
it's
crying.
Water, salty substance coming
so
from
yeah,
his
so
eye.
We'll do that, and we'll expand beyond just college football. We'll do NFL and everything else.
Yes, I promise that we will talk more than college football, and continue with your brand.
All right, Shoe, you must go. The Sass, you must stay. But actually, you should walk out the door, get that roast beef, and then you come back into Studio 66. Make sure you flip it over for Side B of today's final podcasting action. And in the meantime, thanks so much, podcasters. It's been a thin slice of heaven.